Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Nick Nafak, who is Director of Product Mobile for Vantiv. Nick, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Karen.
So we're here to get your perspective and insights on the latest Omnicommerce tracker that we produced together. And obviously a key theme throughout anything these days with respect to retail is mobile. But in this particular issue, it really appeared to be much more of a concerted focus on the part of merchants to really embrace mobile initiatives, perhaps because we're approaching the holiday season and they're getting ready for that. What is your perspective kind of on the ground talking to merchants about their real embrace of mobile as a part of the experience as opposed to this thing that kind of sits over there on the side that they're playing around with?
Well, I think part of what merchants are looking for is a way to satisfy their consumers, number one, and number two, optimize their business experience and knowledge on their side of those respective consumers, so ultimately to drive more business. So in the end, I think mobile faces a challenge that any new technology faces, and namely that's how to make and provide an experience that is at least 10 times better than using other forms of payment, namely plastic in this case, or maybe even cash in some ways, for consumers. And consequently, for merchants, it becomes a matter of gaining valuable insight into their customer base so that they can either provide a better experience during the peak of the shopping season, whether that looks like something like skipping a line or some other special VIP experience, or really adding value that ultimately just saves their consumer base time and money and provides ways for merchants to optimize their business functions to save them time and money. So if both sides of that transaction are saving time and money, and we're seeing an exponential increase in value and convenience for both consumer and merchants, then mobile adoption will thrive. I think up until now, we've seen incremental increase in experience, but we haven't really seen that 10-time sort of delivery in terms of experience for both sides of that equation.
Well, I think you make a good point. And I remember in the late 1990s when everyone was talking about e-business. And soon everyone kind of dropped the E because business just moved in a very digital, fluid fashion. I mean, it took a while for that to happen, but I think that as we think about mobile and we call out mobile as a separate initiative, it probably will take a little bit of time, but soon it will just be how things happen, and mobile will morph to some other connected device that enables access to a retail experience. But is that your view too?
Absolutely. I mean, I like to say often in many of the talks that I give, there is no future. There's just different shades of the past. I've been working in mobile since, 1999. I was one of the first to build a contextual commerce platform when Sprint had barely the ability to do it through SignalSoft ages ago to triangulate position of consumers with cell tower. And then we combined that with the text-based or browser-based experience at the time to allow our middleware platform to combine your past purchases to infer where you are to make future purchases, which is something that many other players in the space are looking at and just seem to be calling contextual commerce, which is what we labeled it back then. So we will see a trend here and now of going through the steps to realize that 10 times value, right? And that's what's important, is kind of to get everybody on the path, because payments is a multi-sided network with many different players involved, and that's heavily entrenched. And so to get the critical mass that we need to deliver that value, we have to take very clear steps. And so at Vantiv, that's what we've done. We've outlined a very clear path from where we are today to where we want to get to. And, you know, we'll probably talk about a little bit about that in a moment.
Wow. So you brought up mobile payments. And, you know, I think the perception and the reality are very different. I think certainly there's an interest and an anticipation that mobile payments is how we will pay for things in a retail environment. But I think it remains to be seen just what that experience is. And so I guess my question to you is, what is going to really ignite mobile payments in an omni-commerce world? A lot of people are thinking loyalty is that trigger, that catalyst that will pull payments through. What is your view?
So I think there are things that are going to kindle mobile payments and then eventually ignite them, right? So things like integrated loyalty, integrated offers, add what we call 2 to 3 times value on the 10 times value chain, right? So now I'm in line with my family and my kids are tired. I don't have to get out, use my wallet to tap and mobile wallet to tap and pay or digital wallet to tap and pay and then get out a separate card. That will be an integrated experience. And to the extent that infrastructure is in place to provide that in one click, which, it will be in time, that will deliver, 2 to 3 times value. But again, that's mostly incremental, right? And for things to really ignite, you need to have a fundamental change, a fundamental shift that makes it, compelling more than on a 2 to 3 times level. And so kind of fast forward into the future, what that could like is really the future of payments really is going to be machine to machine. And to even call it mobile is going to be sort of obtuse in some ways. And I don't mean that, in a bad way. It's just that the device will go away. There will be a machine to machine communication. You'll have what I call more of an invisible payment. And it will go back to how it used to be actually hundreds of years ago in the old West, where someone would roll into a small town where they knew everybody and they knew that you purchased X number of bales of hay and that you liked to drink sarsaparilla and you will ensue in conversation. And that will be the irony. However, the key difference will be that you don't have to establish those kind of personalization preferences with every merchant, every vendor that you encounter. Instead, you'll have some form of anonymized personalization token that lets, someone like a Subway vendor know that, they don't have to know that I live at a specific address and that I have all this detailed metadata. All they have to know is that I'm some guy that doesn't like onions on my tuna sandwich. And then, to the extent that there are other things that could be sold and other interests that I may have, then that will open up the opportunity for commerce and other conversations. So that will be the fundamental change, is when I don't have to get my phone out, right? That's when mobile will really shine, is you really will just have a human engage and a much greater simplified experience in payments.
Amen. I think that's awesome. I mean, I said for a long time that simply substituting a phone for a card isn't really leveraging the opportunity to, in your words, create 10 times the value. I absolutely agree. The future, I think, is very exciting on that level. Let's talk a little bit, though, about these personalized tokens. I think that's a very interesting concept. And tokens, seem to be also very much part of our future. We have security tokens, payment tokens, now personalization tokens. How do all these tokens talk to each other and work together? Is there going to have to be a new player introduced into the ecosystem to pull all of it together, aggregate all of the tokens to make sense of it?
Absolutely. I mean, this is where people who are at the hub of distribution between merchants, card networks, and issuers really begin to make more sense. Mm-hmm. This is why I think people like acquirers won't go away for quite some time. Because there's a lot of value for a merchant, for instance, to have one place to integrate to, one place to obtain support from, and one place to generate their own reporting data and other metadata from. So it's not to champion this just because I happen to be working for an acquirer. The fact remains that the aggregation of such metadata and the anonymization of such metadata is really going to be critical, not just domestically, but internationally for large technology players like Apple, Google, PayPal, Samsung, MCX, so on. They're really going to need one place that they can go. And the key word here is infrastructure and common experience, right? They're going to need common technical standards that they can operate by so that I don't, have to send a carrier pigeon out for one type of technology and wave my arms for another and jump up and down for another metaphorically. Right? There's a consistency in the data members that are passed. There's a consistency in the consumer experience that we're trying to achieve as an industry. And more importantly, there's a consistency as far as the handling and security of that metadata across different members of the payments ecosystem. So that's going to be our fundamental challenges coming together as an industry to realize such invisible payments as a vision collectively and to build the infrastructure pieces together. Because really, this is a prisoner's dilemma for all of us. If we want to see, digital transactions really thrive, it's going to require, many of the actors and stakeholders in this ecosystem to agree on what that vision looks like, even though it could take different forms, but fundamentally agree on the end goal, and then come together to make standards sort of form or best practices, probably a more modest way of saying it, form so that we can get on that path.
Yeah, that is going to be a fascinating journey because there obviously are a lot of sensitivities depending upon where you play in the ecosystem to coming together and creating the standard, because ultimately there has to be this player in the middle, and there are differing degrees of opinion about who should play that role and on behalf of whom. I mean, ultimately on behalf of the consumer, but there are a lot of stakeholders who have a particular point of view on who stands in the middle.
And one comment I'd like to make is EMV is a great example of a cross-industry initiative that obviously is very difficult to achieve and did occur domestically in the U.S. and has occurred in other countries. I won't say it's the smoothest process. It is very difficult to get these stakeholders to come together, but I tip my hat to the folks who've been involved tirelessly in getting EMV to market, because it clearly indicates a willingness by the industry to embrace an overall set of security initiatives and to deploy them, you know, across entire industry segments, which is completely non-arbitrary to do. I come from a telecom background where we did this for messaging in over 30 countries. And if you think having, you know, four or five card brands to deal with is difficult, imagine having 1,000. So we did manage to achieve some degree of standards. We did manage to achieve some degree of consistency. And as a consequence, we carried 90% of the world's traffic for 6 years ourselves and then spun off entire industries for messaging. So that was really exciting. So it is possible to do. It's just very tiring, and it just requires people with the right level of experience and the right motivation to do that. And then industries can come together and commerce can flourish. I never thought I'd see the day where some words I wrote haphazardly would appear on a movie screen, a message and data rates may apply. And now that's part of standard issue contracts for many of the mobile network operators. So it's come back to haunt me and several of my peers who helped drive those initiatives, but we made it happen and it continues to grow.
So you talked about kindling on the fire before there's really ignition. And I think we agree that engagement initiatives designed to acquire and retain the customer is certainly one of those kindling sticks. But given the imperative to create a personalized experience for the consumer and being aware of this longer-term goal of having a very, very data-driven personalized experience, what are you advising merchants in terms of the path to getting there? Where do they start and how do they build on that?
Yeah, this is a great question. And this is part of our vision overall that we've been very public about at Vantiv and that you'll see spread more industry-wide. And my message to merchants is support what you can to get greater value here and now and leverage, you know, assets that you're going to update for things like EMV to your advantage, right? So let's face it, a lot of security initiatives are difficult to see a return on investment for because sometimes the fraud costs aren't passed on anyway to the merchant other than dealing with reduced phone calls and support overhead. So it has to become very clear that if you have a new piece of hardware or you're re-terminalizing or you're updating your POS in any way, that you should seek to optimize that. And what I mean is if there's the ability to support mainstream initiatives from key players that own the mobile device operating system, and I'll, you know, pick on Apple and Google in this case because they obviously have the majority stake in the market and probably the greatest degree of control over those OSs right now, then they'll want to look into, you know, how they can turn on things like NFC, even though the infrastructure is still forming. It gives them an additional value add from a piece of hardware that they would normally buy for some security initiative that they may or may not see an immediate return on investment for. So I think mobile will succeed in kindling things like mobile payments and other forms of value-added services like loyalty or offers if they clearly demonstrate to merchants how to turn these things on, how to have adequate training and support within their organizations, and how to have a consistent deployment experience across their merchant base. And also to adopt technologies, quite frankly, that make sense for their segment. Because not all of these technologies from all of these vendors make sense. What makes sense for someone in a quick serve environment may not make sense for somebody in a sit-down restaurant, for instance.
Yep.
So it's a matter of education, and it's a matter of providing positive, reliable experience at this point, and also doing our part to help guide the industry on the mobile side and connect it better with the merchant side. Because it's very clear that new technologies, as they form, have been very one-sided. They've started mostly with the consumer experience and sort of obtained bits and pieces of the merchant experience along the way. Now, there's a fundamental shift in all of my partners where they realize that they have to treat the merchant experience as equally important as the consumer experience. So to answer your question succinctly, I suggest to my merchants to adopt technologies where key technology players have taken them into account from the get-go and are willing to open up a dialogue with them directly to validate not only their current offerings, but their future offerings as well. So I think that's a pretty exciting place to be in the industry, and we hope to see good things come from that.
Do you anticipate a scenario where all of the efforts around the substitution of card for phone, you know, takes on a little bit of traction, but the real emphasis and the real traction becomes in this machine-to-machine invisible payments environment where we just simply have the ability and the infrastructure to just leapfrog that experience? Or is it a necessary experience that we go from plastic card to phone that kind of operates that way with a few little, to use your analogy, 2 to 3x capabilities, and then we move to something more powerful?
I think it's going to require a fundamental shift in understanding really that future vision of invisible payments, as I said. Mm-hmm. The cornerstone of that, the centerpiece of that, is digital identity, right?
Yep.
And there are players that are doing some work, but not enough. And not enough people, I mean, part of my background is I worked as a security consultant, or what some would say informally, a paid hacker to attack and defend military networks for a living. So I have more than a casual understanding of how to navigate different kinds of networks for my own purposes. Gladly, I was paid by my employer to do them, but it's a very eye-opening experience. And one thing that I've learned universally when it comes to commerce is that identity is really the mainstay. And to the extent that we can find a strong form of anonymized identity that may be one-time use and disposable to protect consumers, I think that's when we'll begin to see the infrastructure put into place to do machine-to-machine, because machine-to-machine is very powerful and Internet of Things is very powerful, but what people are not talking about is my ability to assert any kind of machine identity that I want. That's often how I violate many different networks that I've gotten, right? Is that they don't know the difference between, you know, if I'm a router making a call to another router or a switch calling another switch when in fact I'm just a laptop host on some WLAN somewhere, you know, where I'm not traceable over some encrypted channel, right? Hmm. So it really is going to be very critical for the future to get the right people from the security involved in digital identity, and that will ubiquitously draw things together in the machine-to-machine space. Then the second piece of that is that we have the infrastructure from the internet to not fall on itself. There's a lot of issues with IPv4 and transitioning to IPv6 that people don't talk about, but if you're in the security community, there are countries like India where the NATing is so bad that there are actually physical handwritten maps in companies to understand the IP space. It's extremely interesting, but very fragile, right? So in America, we're very lucky to control a large degree of IP space, but we also have to look at other countries internationally and the developing world internationally and address larger issues like, you know, IPv6 and beyond, so that we can get the throughput and capacity we need, that when we, you know, come up with some wonderful solution, it's not latent and full of holes.
Wow. Well, Nick, this has been a fascinating conversation, and your perspective is interesting and I hope very real, because it is the way that we will get the value from all of the innovation and investments in innovation that everyone is making and will continue to make. And as a consumer, obviously, in addition to being someone who is very involved in the space, I think it's the experience that we're all looking for. So thanks very much for sharing your perspective and a little bit of inside baseball with respect to where Vanna is headed. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. I appreciate your time as well.